So I made this short little interview last week that I, with myself, that I talked about. I was going to have some guests that were going to come in and talk about some things that they've witnessed. And I always give people credit for doing that. And I was, you know, my podcast, it's always kind of centered around what people's firsthand experiences. Because who do you believe with all the things that are out there? And especially if you start digging around, it's easy to think this is true or that's true. And to me, like it says on my podcast, we all have a piece of the puzzle. We all have probably had experiences with things, or we can certainly see how they're connected. If we have a job, we can certainly see how certain things happen. So these are not their real names, by the way. I mean, we take this seriously, but we're also having a little bit of fun. So we have Carol here.
Carol. Hello.
And we have Bob.
Hello.
And we have Jane.
Good morning. Afternoon.
And they work and they work at a facility, and it deals with patients. And I guess we don't need to really go much more than that. And we certainly want to protect your identity because you're kind of speaking. Are you concerned in any way, any one of you, about talking about these things at all?
I'm not.
Bob says he's not. Carol, how about you? And you don't have to say. You can feel free to
give it the old wink.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. And I think Jane would like to talk.
Well, I would say that I like to be careful. I can give my personal opinion of something, but also a lot of the things that we see are maybe not necessarily our story to tell. So mm-hmm. I don't like to speak for other people.
Correct.
You know, so we have some observations, but...
Okay, I'll get to some questions. First of all, but this is going to be dealing with... Part of this interview is dealing with, you know, the minute COVID came out, the way my mind thinks is that, okay, they released this. This is another way to try to make us sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've just been going down that road for a long time. Can I prove it? Well, it seems to be there's some things coming out. And then when they talked about a vaccine, I did a show where I said, there is no way that I will ever take one of those just because of some of the things I've heard over the years. And there seems to be a connection with certain illnesses, and vaccines. Am I an anti-vaxxer? No, I don't know what every vaccine does, but I think it doesn't hurt to be careful. And, you know, what we heard about this vaccine, it was rushed through. Did it cause harm? Of course, we didn't hear about that. So this is part of what we're going to discuss today. So who should I address my question to? Would you like this, Jane?
Sure.
So I'm going to go with Jane on this first. And what were your feelings? Can I ask you what your feelings were about the vaccine, about hearing about the vaccine? Was this something you were...
Well, my background is in healthcare and science, and also did infection control in the past. And what I have been taught and what I've known about trials for medications and how you you have to experiment with something before you give it to the mass population. We had to have legislation not too long ago that allowed people the right to try medication, people who were actually dying anyway, up until just a couple of years ago, weren't allowed to try something experimental because they didn't want to harm a person. So when I saw the push for something that obviously had not been trialed or experimented with, at least that we know of, unless it had been happening and we didn't know, and to force it and make it so you would lose your livelihood or your job or your reputation if you didn't take it, was enough for me to have lots of red flags about it, because it wasn't anything that we've been taught to do.
It went against, and you know, they say that this was a serious illness, and therefore we have to. Mm-hmm. And to follow up on that, what were your thoughts on COVID? Was that as deadly as they told us?
It was very serious for a certain group of people who, for any type of infection that, like influenza, like pneumonia, like urinary tract infections, bacterial infections, viral infections, are always vulnerable because of the comorbidities that they have. So for years, we've had people who, whenever they're exposed to someone who has symptoms of a disease, you've asked them to stay away from this particular population of people because they're vulnerable to any type of infection. So this model where people who have no symptoms are a danger and a threat to people potentially, and quarantining healthy people is the exact opposite of any model that I've ever learned.
Yeah, and then they say, and then on top of that, you know, another thing we heard is that they said that when you get natural immunity from this, that was kind of left out of the equation, right? When you get it, when you get the disease, you get natural immunity, and that was like, oh, that's still not enough.
The hallmark standard, when I was hearing in the news, when you hear people who are lawmakers, legislators, people who aren't in the medical community say, we don't know if natural immunity is effective. I mean, I didn't take that very seriously because I don't expect somebody who's not in healthcare to know the truth, which is that natural immunity is the hallmark standard. When I start to hear physicians, and a lot of these physicians, though, you have to know that you saw on the news, talking heads, are not people who practice medicine. They don't actually take care of people, but they know that what they're telling you isn't true. Hmm. That is what made me angry, because those people knew they were telling a lie. Somebody who was briefed by somebody who's in the medical community who has a different background might be able to be fooled into thinking, well, they're a doctor that they know, so they must be telling me something I don't know. But to hear the medical people say that they would question whether natural immunity is a thing or not is laughable. That was laughable.
So why would they do that? I know that's a speculative answer. Maybe Bob can tell us, or either one of you. Why do you think they did that?
Well,
why would they mislead us like that?
Well, I mean, there was a huge monetary factor for, you know, they stood to gain a lot. Governments came up with deals with these companies, and they ordered millions more doses than they actually needed, have the citizens foot the tab. Mm-hmm. And then now we have all these vaccines, nobody wanted them, so all they did, it was just a big thing to, a money grab. The people that, I don't think that a depopulation agenda is a conspiracy, because Bill Gates will say the COPSEC equation, and it's for the net zero carbon.
Yes,
and he says one of these variables has to come to zero. Well, I mean, those variables stand for certain, I can't name what, but the P in COPSEC stands for people, you know? Yeah. And it's like, we can't eliminate these other variables, so which one can we eliminate? Well, the government knows which one they can eliminate, right?
So you're saying that, and I've heard this before, that part of this, from what you, the way you see it, and I don't know if the others, a few others agree, but part of this program was to eliminate part of the population.
Otherwise, why lie about the herd immunity and all that sort of stuff? I mean,
something was going on. Yeah. I mean, how do we prove any of it? But that's a good point. You know, something, okay, at the very least, it was released accidentally and they covered it up. But we know that military uses things and does things with these kind of viruses. Mm-hmm. So it could easily have been released deliberately. And I've heard the same stuff as you about, you know, part of the agenda is to reduce to a smaller group, a more controllable group that they want to have on the planet. Certainly something I entertain. Would you like to add anything at all, Carol? Is there any? Are you good where you're at?
I'm good. I'm
okay.
Right,
thank you.
There.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So I guess my next question would be, unless there's more you want to say, if there's not about any of it.
I would just say that the observations that I had about this was just a larger scale of other things that I've observed over time, and I think many people have.
How many years have you been looking at that stuff?
I mean, I have been in the healthcare world for almost 25 years. So.
But what about the other things that you've been looking at? Like looking down the rabbit hole a little bit. How long have you been?
Oh, 9/11 was when I really, I mean, I have always been a skeptical person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of experiences that have happened to me as a child on a personal level, people in my life who presented themselves as one thing, who turned out to be completely different. I had already experienced some cognitive dissonance in life to know that things could be an illusion, what you thought. So I feel like it opened me up to being able to be skeptical to a lot of things that maybe other people wouldn't notice.
Would you say, because this is kind of how I got started, would you say there were things like unusual events that kind of got you to start thinking there was something more? Because like with me,
mm-hmm.
out-of-body experiences at 4 years old, spirits in the house, just all these different things, a UFO when I was 8 years old. So these are things that kind of go, oh, I think there's more out there. Maybe there's more than what they're telling us.
Right.
Did those kind of things happen?
Yeah. Yes. And I've always had an intuition to be able to know kind of where something was going or what somebody would do or how it would play out. And it wouldn't necessarily be what most people would expect, but I can sometimes read people. I can read bullshit sometimes. you know what I'm saying? And right. I've always had that.
Right.
And I've always been able to have a thought that maybe something going to happen before it would happen.
Like a premonition.
A premonition.
Oh, that's
I've always had that.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. How about you, Bob? You've been on this for a while. When did you get started looking at things in a little differently?
It's been really my whole life. I never...
From early on? Early childhood?
Yeah, from early on. I mean, I would say probably when I was a teenager, you know. When I was a kid, I always had my nose stuck in a book, so I was reading fantasy and stuff like that. So I guess I've kind of...
Right. But it opened your mind up.
Yeah, that's
you got to have a very open mind to look at these things, mm-hmm. right? It's easy to, just to put in it a reference, it's easy to accept our programming and believe everything we see is... So you step outside of that, kind of like The Matrix, the movie The Matrix, and you take, was it the red pill? You take the red pill and you... And in many ways, I think that movie kind of correlates. I'm guessing you've mm-hmm. all seen
oh,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of correlates some of the things that may be going on. What about you, Carol? Have you always been open to...
No.
To different things?
No, I'm more of a late bloomer when it comes to phenomena. Things have been always a part of our life growing up or whatever, but like opening your eyes to see things more clearly or to read more into things and not take it at face value, not just take everybody's word just for that. That's only come along, I would say, in the past maybe 10-15 years.
So do you guys all, is there a group of you that get together and talk about things like this? Or
some we'll of talk that, occasionally.
Some yeah. of that goes on?
Mm-hmm.
So you compare
we
things?
We know our audience a lot.
Yes.
We know
who you're safe to talk in front of. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think for you, it was much more painful. Like I'm saying, I had this, a lot of experiences as a child. I felt like I was already corrupted or jaded. My expectations of what it was all about had already been dismantled. For you, watching you, it was a lot more painful. Like, oh, you mean that guy, that really nice guy, is not really a nice guy?
Yeah.
And it's not like this. That was a lot more painful for her.
She had a tougher time step in.
Yeah, and I don't think it's, like, again, I don't think it's my place necessarily to force someone to be, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. red-pilled if they're not ready.
Well, and I think that's pretty normal. I mean, if we remember in the Matrix movie when Keanu, they rescue him out of the thing, and he's, like, hooked up in the, and it's, like, basically a bathtub, and he's got a million wires coming out of him to play it, and he's like, you know, it's like, it doesn't feel good when to wake up, you know what I mean? When you,
it can be a shock to your world.
Yeah, you realize
if you believed all these things you've heard all your life, and you know, when I had a more of a bigger awakening, probably in my 20s, when I stopped believing in certain things, it's like, and my brother was the one that was kind of nudging me to look at some different books, and then I started putting my experiences together. I go, you know, it kind of, this is to me is pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always room for something else that could be true. I always keep an open mind to. Maybe all this is not accurate neither. I think you kind of want to always keep that door open, because then it's too easy to say, well, I know all the answers, and I know a lot of people like this. I've interviewed people that have written books or are psychic or medium or channels, whatever you want to call them, and some of them stay humble and are still trying to serve others, and a lot of them, well, you need to come to me because I've got your answers, and that's how you drink Kool-Aid. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's scary though.
It is. Who do you
when
trust?
When everything you thought or whatever is becoming open, or you're seeing things and you're like, holy crap. It can, because it turns your world upside
down. It can. Yeah.
Yes. And there's vultures ready. There's vultures ready for you because you are a destabilized person who. Mm-hmm. You're clinging to something to then hold on to.
And so, when you say vultures are ready, what do you mean?
Well, because I think that the truth movement, or however you want to call this, what we're talking about right now, has been infiltrated by a lot of vultures who see people who
Not only that,
are destabilized.
Just not only that, but I would go and say every movement that has ever been for the betterment of all humans always gets infiltrated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, at first, it might be really started out as something that was good. Maybe this country mm-hmm. could be an example. And, you know, many say the Illuminati came here at one point. And there's even a letter that George Washington mm-hmm. wrote, which I thought was pretty cool. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? And he was warning us about the Illuminati
mm-hmm.
possibly coming here. So, some of these groups, a lot of people like the Freemasons, they give them a lot of, I think at one time maybe they weren't, you know, because a lot of our founding fathers belonged to that.
Yes.
So who's to say who's to say what's true in any of that? But I could just see how it seems like everything I notice, people come out, they have a message, then it shifts. And then, like I say, sometimes ego gets involved and they want to control. And there was a man a few years ago, this woman that listened to my podcast, she said, oh, you got to check this guy out. And he wanted me to join his group that would meet and they would talk, and it was all these new agers like me.
Yeah.
and we're going there, and I just thought he tried so hard to recruit me
mm-hmm.
that it was such a turnoff. And
yes.
I told him
mm-hmm.
I can't be a part of this
mm-hmm.
because that's not, to me, I always take it from a space of love, and the highest love is unconditional. And it's not pushing anything or making anybody do anything, accepting people. Maybe you can present things, but I didn't feel it was coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's not, you just kind of step away from it. You know? Is that how you, how do you know what you feel is right and true to you with all the things? How do you determine that?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think you really got to be comfortable with who you are as a person, you know? You got to be convicted in your own beliefs, I suppose, or
you got to have like don't you have to have like an origin of what you fall back on? What do you think this lines up with this, and this is my truth?
Right, like a set of sort of operating principles.
Or even just overall beliefs and how things are working. For me, it's like, for example, what do I think God is? Everything goes back to that. To me, God is unconditional love, doesn't judge us, allows us to be, and anybody that says otherwise, well, God is doing this to the planet right now, or God is doing that. It's like, I don't think that's coming from God. I think God is pure love. Yes, God wants the best for all of us, But I think it's, we've been given the choice to screw it up however we want.
Yeah.
And I think we also, from my own experience of both my parents coming back, we go on regardless, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes on to that next place. But that's just my belief, and that's why I see things that way. I wanted to go, and if there's anything more anybody wants to say, if you want to share why you think the way you do, feel free. You have an open mic.
Well, I mean, I just think that when, because I've had people ask me that before, they're like, how do you know you're making the right decision or the good decision? Or, you know, and I just kind of think back when I was a kid, and, you know, grandma's like, you don't put your hand in the cookie jar. The cookies are for later. But when grandma goes to fold the laundry or something, or she's in another room, you're looking at that I'm looking at that cookie jar, you know, and I might even go over there. And as you're reaching your hand out and you remember what they said and you get the feeling that you shouldn't do it, that's how I make decisions. It's like, if I do something, does this make me feel like I'm stealing a cookie? I'm probably
not. So you're
not
based on the cookie theory. Everything in Bob's life is based on the cookie jar theory. So really, it's knowing between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go also say that that's an inner knowing that all of us have, just from
Absolutely.
Our parents.
Absolutely. I do not take that moral agency away from anybody. People know.
We know right when we're born, wrong. Would you say? We know this when we're born.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of lose sight of it as we get older. And think about as children or being around younger children, how curious they are about everything.
Yeah.
And also how loving they are, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are, everybody's got their own different personality, but they're filled with such joy. Mm-hmm. And to me, I've always looked at it, well, that's because that's where we just came from.
Yeah.
We came from this place. Somebody even said in an article I read, you know why babies scream when they're born? They can't believe they're here. They just came from a place.
Good.
They just came from a place where there wasn't any of that. And now they're stepping into this place that's like, I don't think I like this place. There's a little bit of darkness down here.
Yeah, they can't say, are you kidding me, man?
I think that a good thing to do, too, is don't do anything just because somebody's presenting you with a choice right this moment. Somebody else is putting that on you. So I do the same thing until I'm led to do something different. Now, we were faced with the, will you take the vaccine? This was a really good experience for me. The thought that I will most likely lose my job and I'm going to do this, and I've given my entire life, in my mind, the biblical, what is religion? Giving love to widow, you know, taking care of widows and orphans in their infirmity. That was the ultimate act. So I've given my entire life to taking care of vulnerable people. So the thought that I wouldn't do it anymore, because I've done this for so long and listened inside, it really almost wasn't a choice for me. It was like, of course I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you'd make a decision out of fear, you know it's the wrong one. You know it's wrong. So if you're supposed to do what's right, you're going to have the strength to do it and not even know where it came from, because you're following the truth no matter where it goes. And so the fear of it, if you do something, I'm afraid I will lose my job, so I will do this. You know for sure you're doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Or if somebody's forcing you into a decision because it's on their timetable, that's right there. That is someone else controlling you.
Exactly.
Right there.
We see a lot of that in the world, don't we? It's very, people are very sneaky about how they work.
And you almost know you're never going to do it. There's never going to be a time I would do something if I'm being hurried and rushed into doing it.
You're
going to
go just the opposite?
I'm most likely going to go the opposite direction forever.
I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it because I see it now clearly. When I was younger, no. I went along. Oh, let's go off the edge of the cliff. Okay, the other lemmings are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we do that. And I think we're really in a time where things have changed and people have, some people would say we're more awake. There's a greater awareness coming. Something's shifted in the way people think from 20 years ago even.
I've always been a pain in the butt. So I don't know if you're kind of like that. You're a pain in the butt. Kind of like that, where you yeah. don't want to be a pain in the butt. He's very passive. Both of us are very non-confrontational, passive. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You do you, and I'll do me, and everything will be fine.
Very laissez-faire approach.
But then it's like, you don't want to be difficult, but you almost always have to be difficult. Because so you're the one person who observes, like, why are we all standing in the line right here? Like, I'll always notice that. Like, have you ever seen those videos where everyone gets in the elevator and the one guy who sets it up has everybody standing backwards in the elevator, and one person looks and they copy it, and then another one copies it, and pretty soon everyone's standing backwards. I'd be the one person who's like, why are we all standing backwards? And I can't seem to help that.
Right. And that's good. As far as I'm concerned, you're questioning what's going on around you.
But don't you think that we're like this? So that's why we're all talking. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people who just, they didn't choose. I don't know. Did they choose not to have it? I don't know. I don't
choose not to have what?
To have that
ability.
Flex that muscle. You know?
Or that observation. Yeah. Like, do they not notice?
There are many different explanations. What I believe in, which I can't prove 100%, but I think some of us are just born a little more aware. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do we use 100% of our brain? Science says we only use 10%, right? Mm-hmm. What about our DNA? We only use, what, 2 strands out of 12? Why is that? And so I'm sure you've followed these things, but has that been tampered with in some way? But are some of us born like an Einstein or like many of the others? Tesla's a good example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That somehow could channel into something else from somewhere else to give him this knowledge. And then there was Edgar Cayce, who literally could help people. And I think he's well documented. What was he tapping into? So some of us are born maybe with just a little more of our brain open and connected that allows us. And is it by choice too? Do we choose?
That's what I meant. I was asking.
Do we choose what you're saying? Well, what do you think? Do we have a choice when we come here at all, Carol?
Like coming here to Earth?
Do we have a choice in what our skills can be and our abilities? Do you think?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Or does somebody make that choice for us?
No.
We make our own choice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I believe that. I believe, I don't know how you guys feel about reincarnation, but I can remember some other things pretty clearly. And they've been proven to me. So I can't say, okay, I lived in the Civil War. Here was my name. I know I lived in the Civil War. But it came to me and it just resonates with me. And then I've worked with some psychics who said, yes, this. So if they're telling the truth, then yes, I really did. So I believe we come more than once. And how else would you learn if you only, first time here, last time? You know, it's like, so this is a choice we make. And then I think the universe is vast and consciousness is vast. Not everybody chooses to be a part of this. Some are off in some other, I don't know, whatever's mm-hmm. out there, you mm-hmm. know? So to me, it's choice, all of it. Mm-hmm. And then also we can be awakened as we go along. And I also think us New Agers, you know what that term is, right? Mm-hmm. So us New Agers, which I'm not really that, but metaphysical, we believe there was a thing called the Harmonic Convergence in 1987, which was a great awakening. And then 2012, December 21st, was another great awakening. And there's been many, 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 many. And this is all part of where we're going, I think, to the dawning of the new age, as they say. Anyway, I wanted to get back to the vaccination. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about, like, witnessing? Did any of you witness, like, people that got vaccinated? And maybe you can't prove it. But people started.
Yeah, this is the hard part.
But there were
part.
Strange coincidences afterwards, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, and this is why I'm careful how I say it, because I didn't like how the other side was using anecdotal things to try to prove something scientific when that's not how you do it. So the same thing should go for me to say, okay, I've had this observation. This is what I really think because of my personal beliefs. This isn't like a scientific
right.
study well, that I've ever, done.
How are you ever going to get that?
Though? Right. And you're not. You're not. But all I know is that it bared out in people that we've seen that I had heard that it could be that if you get maybe one vaccine, you might be okay. And then as you get more and more doses, things will start to really unravel. We've seen that.
You've seen that. People that were vaccinated.
We've seen people at, it's almost, somebody has a clot, someone has a stroke, someone has an embolism, someone has a really strange infection that's really hard to fix. It's like, when's the last time they had a booster? Oh, yep. Yeah.
So you can see, even though you can't verify it, there's a lot of visual, and you can realize that something, I mean, we're seeing this happen a lot. And
especially for people that, if they were there for a while, and we kind of know what they're like, and then they get this, and now they're having all this weird shit happen because they got this shot. I mean, you know,
it's too coincidental.
It's too coincidental. And there's been people that.
So, what are some of the things that you've seen? Would be related to the COVID shot?
Well, I mean, there's people that. I mean, one person that I know, she said that she come up to me one day. She says, "Oh, I should have never got that damn shot." Mm-hmm. She's like, "I never been the same since." Yep. Her cancer came. Like, she wound up having cancer, was in remission for like 20 years, and it came back like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was within weeks.
Mm-hmm. What else have you witnessed?
We have had a couple of people who literally turned into zombies. I mean, really? That they lost
they
their
ate human
cognitive,
flesh?
Their cognitive oh, okay. impairment went from, you know, able to maintain conversations and enjoy other people, maybe pleasantly forgetful and confused.
But you didn't see it.
Walking around looking like.
But you didn't see them eating anybody's brain.
No, that hasn't happened yet.
I just wanted to make sure we understood what's
happening. No, that hasn't happened yet.
So that's not going to happen. But I can understand what you're saying. What else have you witnessed?
I had a relative that literally he went and got his booster shot, like number 5, 12, whatever one they're on, and a half hour later he was in his car through a clot.
Hmm.
Ended up in the ER.
So we see a lot of blood clots?
Syncope, vertigo, recurring infections, personality changes, emotional problems.
Cancer.
What about unreal?
Heart issues too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Arrhythmias. Mm-hmm.
There's a newsman here. He got his shot, and he's been healthy his whole time. He's in his early 70s. And he right away started having problems with his heart. And he feels to this day that that had something to do with it. Now, he's okay now. Have you seen people recover with these after they had some of these issues?
My relative hasn't yet, and he said I should never have gotten that, and I'm not going to get any more because he just doesn't feel the same. He can't. He's deteriorated so much. He needs help now. And
when this was first happening, you know, because I warned every person I possibly could to wait. It was kind of like this, don't take it out of fear, just wait. And then, I'm going to lose my job. I got to do it. Or, I got to do it. Okay. And then when I started seeing some of these effects start to happen, my first question when I would hear this person got sick, this person got diagnosed with this, that, or the other thing was, were they vaccinated? I personally have stopped doing that because unlike the other side that wanted all of us who didn't do it to die, I mean, you heard it a lot that people who choose not to be vaccinated should not be allowed out of their homes and they should be, you know, I'm not happy to be right about that. So there's enough people that I've talked about it with them enough times that to ask them, do you think it's the vaccine? I feel it's almost cruel at this point because they've already done it, and I personally haven't seen anything turn around that people start to feel better. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a few protocols out there, but I don't know if they work. I haven't seen.
There's some people that I work closely with that have gotten it. They only got one, but and they experience stuff immediately after, you know, negative adverse reactions. They've gotten better over the last couple of years, I feel like, but they're still not the same, and they know they're not the same, mm-hmm. and that's what they report. They're like, I still got this, you know, kind of thing like lingering going on, you know, just that it's got a grip on them and won't let go. Well, I mean, if you look at what they say that shot actually does, I mean, they said that it. Why would they have to say that it won't change your DNA? I mean, it'd be interesting to see. Well, there's tons of microscopy you can see on the internet mm-hmm. of people.
Judy Milkowitz that are is putting really their incredible.
They're putting their own blood on slides for yeah. people to see
to show that it's changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would encourage anybody to go and do that. There's, especially now, this long into it, because they want to remove themselves as far away from the date. They want to remove themselves from the consequences, you know? It's like the robber wants to steal your money really fast and get the hell out of town before you realize that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. So, yeah, there are protocols that you can take to lessen that stuff, but, I mean, I've had reports of people that got rashes and had to went to the hospital for it that wound up in resulting amputation just over a rash. But these rashes are being reported by lots of people that not only have gotten the shot, but just from being around people that got the shot. And I mean, the people that.
You're saying that it's transferred to other people.
Spike protein shedding off of skin cells.
So that, and that makes sense, because there is a woman I work with. You have to take off?
I gotta go.
Okay, well, thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing that. So there's a woman I work with, and her son, who's 20 years old, did not get the vax, but he had healthy guy, never had a problem. He came down with a heart problem and blood clots. And so you think that possible that, and the article I read said that can be transferred. This one doctor, he felt it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think anything probably mm-hmm. could be, right, at that point.
Yeah.
So be careful who you, did I shake your hand, Bob, when you came in?
I didn't get one of them
We're
things.
We're not, yeah.
And I'm not too squeamish.
Okay.
Like I said, there's actually stuff that I do and use, you know, product that certain doctors on the internet have recommended to mitigate the effects.
Do you want to share what that is, or is that something?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You can use black seed oil topically if you're worried about it with a skin condition. Excuse me. You can take pine needle tea. You can also take black seed oil internally. There's other stuff that you can look up.
It helps your detox.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep, absolutely. Glutathione is a very potent antioxidant that's made by your liver. You can take that, and that will help degrade graphene oxide, which is known and admitted by Pfizer to be in that vaccine.
And why is that in there?
Graphene oxide. According to all of the doctors that have been searching for the truth about the COVID shot, none of them see any reason for that to be in there other than nefarious, because graphene oxide is toxic.
It's not something that should be in there.
There's no reason that it should be.
So some of the doctors, like Malone, those kind of people, right?
Yeah. A doctor described the graphene, well, because the way they do some of these things, they put it in your body and then it changes to something else. So this graphene oxide, according to this German doctor that actually got raided by their, you know, German equivalent of the FBI or whatnot, you know, this doctor said that this graphene hydroxide in your vein is basically like little microscopic razor blades, and that's it's literally designed to make, you ever hear the old phrase, you know, death by a thousand cuts, you know, and the meaning of the phrase being, you know, a thousand small cuts, you know, one cut is not enough to kill you, but a thousand tiny ones is enough to do the job. And, you know, like a frog in a pot of boiling water, I mean, as you heat it slowly, the frog doesn't know, but by the time that the water gets so hot that the frog realizes it, the frog is half cooked already. You
nice can't. Little sauna. This is comfy. Yeah. Huh. That's nice of them to put a little frog sauna out. They built one for me. What's that smell? So, yeah, is there any more we want to talk about on the vaccine issue that either one of you would care to share on that? Things that you might have seen or noticed or witnessed?
I mean, all I can really say about that is I hope that the incidence of people that are dying from this, the way I see it, it would be nice to see that number go down, you know. It would be nice if there were more efforts made to educate the public about things that they can do, but that would, you know, the CDC would have to admit the fault, and the current administration would have to admit a lot of fault. A lot of people would have to eat a lot of crow, you know.
The people who
it's really sad.
They still got sick anyway. They still got the vid.
They still got the what?
They still got COVID. They still got the vid.
You call it the vid. Okay.
They still got it.
Yeah, even then. This is supposed to lessen it,
and it didn't.
Didn't they say it's going to stop you from spreading it? And it's like, how is that possible, even with a vaccine? Mm-hmm. If it's in your system, it's still going to spread. Didn't they say that? That it would not spread if you had the vaccine?
And then why the masks?
How dare these people not get vaccinated because they're going to endanger others? Well, how can I endanger you? You're vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Why would that be a concern?
Right.
And I fortunately worked at a place where they didn't do that, and my wife works at a place where the union stood up and said, nope. And so fortunate, because otherwise I would have had to make a tough decision at that point to proceed with that. Would you have done it? Or would you have quit?
Taken the vax?
Yeah.
Nope. There was a line drawn in the sand. My office was packed. Right down to the ninth hour. My office was packed up and I was ready to toodaloo.
But not everybody at your work probably agreed with that, I'm guessing.
No.
Some people.
And I don't force my opinion on anybody. If you feel safer taking the vaccine, then take it. And if you feel safer not taking it, then don't take it. We all have our own personal reasons why we did or we didn't. We all have our own personal reasons. And mine are different than theirs. And
so
we all have different
reasons. The group of people kind of bonded over this, I'm guessing.
What's that?
The people bonded that were kind of standing alone, kind of against the rest. Mm-hmm. You guys came together a bit on some of this stuff, and you saw, it's like, okay, because you feel like a minority in a way, right? It was a minority of people. The majority of people were saying, oh no, this is going to happen. You've got to do this. I didn't have a lot of contact with others, but I saw some of the stuff on Facebook and I thought, oh my goodness. People were accusing them all kinds of things. You're killing people. It's like.
It was horrible. And try being in healthcare and not take it. It's even more horrible. And people are even more cruel and
it was tough
vicious.
To deal with.
They're downright, yeah.
Are things better now?
Yes.
Everybody's kind of come back together, yes. Even the vaccinated people. Now, there's also a lot of vaccinated people that weren't affected, right?
Yeah.
That had really no effect whatsoever.
It was on both sides, though.
According to reading the trial documentation from pharmaceutical companies, some of those shots that were shipped were saline vials or extremely, extremely low dose of the active mRNA.
So this is what you're saying you got directly from the...
Yep.
And then that would lead to the next question, why would that be?
Because the whole thing was an experiment. They wanted to see how is this going to affect the human body. You know, they found it out. I mean, why would you do something so expensive for only one reason? You know, they figure they're going to get their money's worth out of this. And they pretty much only got one shot to do this. You know, I mean, this is such a big thing. You know, I mean, if you bone this up, they're not going to be able to do this for the first time ever again. You know what I mean? I would think that a lot of people got their antennas up now, you know?
Right.
So whatever they want to do now, it's going to have to be much more.
And you know what also I heard, and I can't say this is true. I mean, this is speculation. This is what one person was putting out there. I don't know if he was a doctor, but I read it on a site that I trust. And he talked about, well, they're not going to try to get everybody sick with the first one. Some are going to get maybe a jab that's more deadly than others. But eventually, as you keep taking them, the odds are going to be more in the favor. And if the goal is to reduce the population, you're not going to give it to everybody at once because people are going to see it and not take it. But, I didn't get sick, and I'm fine, I'll keep taking it. And so that was one reason that was given as to why some of the jabs may be. And who's to say what the truth is, but I think that's what... Anyway.
It sounds reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have no problem agreeing with that. Mm-hmm.
But we could be wrong, right? And you know, whoever's listening, use
could
your
be
own...
right.
Use your own discretion. You know, my job when I do these podcasts is never to stir up any controversy. That's why I avoid a lot of things. I'm all about love. I'm all about... You get yourself in a frame of mind, and that's where you're at. You know, so if you go around being negative or afraid or worked up by all these things, how are you being service to others or yourself? You know, so I know some of these things are there, but I tend to, and it's good to be aware of them, but I tend to focus on what I call love, the positive things around us. To me, I think that's what we're meant to be. And it's so easy to get sidetracked down another road. And I also find whatever we put out there kind of comes back to you. Have you ever noticed that? It's like whatever energy you put out is going to come back to you. So if there's a universal law of cause and effect, whatever I put out negative is going to, and I don't want to do that. I think we need more love now in the world. We have a little more time, and I was wondering if Carol would like to share her adventure with a visitor from another world. Do you want to talk about...
Do you think it's weird? Do you think that people...
People that listen to my podcast do not think that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've seen some of the topics that I talk about... So, when do you see this?
It was last year. It was like last spring. Coming home from work, so midday, it was like 4:35
middle
o'clock.
Of the day too, and a lot of people,
bright sky, no clouds, nothing,
and not far. It wasn't out in the country,
no,
because you live a little ways away
just
from here. And what happened? You were driving
and
along?
Then got home, and I was like, what in the world? I saw this white box looking thing in the...
And she showed me the video, and we were going to put it up, but we couldn't. You couldn't send it to me, but you showed me the video off your phone, and this is a really clear.
Yeah, and all the neighbors were out, you know, doing yard work and doing whatever, doodly-bop. Kids are out playing, whatever, and the whole neighborhood stopped to watch it. And we're all like, what in the world is that? And then so you videotape it, and it was moving slow. It had no wings. It had no sound. It was completely quiet. There was zero sound coming from it. It wasn't a drone. It wasn't, you know.
Because it was white.
It was white. A white square rectangle.
And do you follow any of that stuff as far as, like, people reporting those things?
So it's so funny. It's so funny because the exact same thing that I videoed was on TV on one of the
paranormal.
Caught on camera, yes. And I'm like, there it is. I'm like, that's exactly what it was. It was the exact same thing. Now, this thing on Paranormal Caught on TV was like in, I don't even know where it was, Texas, Colorado, somewhere else. But there's was in the middle of the day, too. But there it was, and then it went for a while, and it was just super slow moving, and it kind of, and then it just, it literally at the end of the video, it just disappeared. It doesn't, right. It doesn't like, bzz, woo,
it didn't fly off fast, but it just, it just faded away. Like it just,
there, yeah, like it went invisible.
It didn't go out of sight.
No.
It just like went into maybe a portal.
Like it just, yeah, it was just.
Did you ever hear of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch? You ever watched that?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
Heard of it, haven't seen it.
So they have, if it's true, because this is a TV show on History Channel, but they film a lot of craft that go over this area, which they think there's a portal, and the craft just, like they go into something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've talked to a lot of UFO researchers on my podcast. A friend of mine who lives down in Detroit in the early 60s, he's a little older, but in the early 60s, his whole family witnessed a UFO, and I think it was more of an oval craft, but they said there was smoke in the sky, and then it's like the sky parted, and this thing came out.
Hmm.
So, you know, I think there's, I do believe these things exist. I've seen them with my eyes, and have you ever seen anything, Bob?
Actually, a couple years ago, when what you just, that just jogged my memory, because the first thing I said to you earlier about that, that was probably 5 or 6 years ago. I was out on the back of the golf course at night, so it was super dark back there. So I did see like a pair of lights that were moving incredibly fast. They were pale yellow, so they did not look like aircraft lights, you know. And they moved parallel to each other as if they were connected by something. But they were moving in such a way that, you know, sometimes they were parallel, but sometimes they weren't. That was kind of weird. That was a nighttime. The one thing that I thought was even more remarkable was a couple years ago, only in the back parking lot at work. So this was like middle of the day. I was looking up in the sky. It was partly cloudy. You know, it was nice and bright though. But I saw like this metallic sphere. And usually, I mean, there's been some things that I have seen, but I'm also like a show me kind of guy. Like I'm gonna be skeptical.
Yeah,
I want evidence. You know,
I think it's good to
empiricist.
Take that.
You know, that kind of thing. And even myself, I'm like, there was people over there, and I was running chase because this metallic sphere was just like moving perfectly straight. It was. I think it was metallic because it was reflecting sunlight, silent, a ball, like a metal marble, beelining through the air. It's like 180 degree plane, you know? I mean, just moving in a straight line. It wasn't going up. It wasn't going down. It was just zooming. And it was going in a way in which that if it was keep going, it was getting behind trees and stuff. So I kept running and trying and watching and following. It just wound up going off in the distance, but there was like people over standing by me, and I was like, did you not see that? And I was running. I was like, come over here so you can see it. Nobody ever did.
You were there.
My whole neighborhood saw this one. We were all gawking at it.
The one was Dib's gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was remarkable. I have never seen anything like that since. But that was definitely something. It was not a hallucination. It was not,
wow.
You know, like people be like, oh yeah, well maybe it's a weather balloon or something. No, it's not a weather balloon. We all saw the picture of the Chinese weather balloon. It looked nothing like that. It looked nothing like that, you know.
Yeah.
And in order for it was really small, but I could see it, you know. I mean, it must have been farther away, you know.
Right.
It was probably.
Could have been a lot bigger.
Exactly.
It's hard to tell. We are out of time. I thank all three of you for coming in for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having us.
And would you want to come back again? Because there's probably more to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Jane had a runoff. So, you know, I just love to have people in that share their experiences openly and, you know, in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'd love to have you guys back again. Thanks. Thank you for sharing so much.
You bet.
Some of the things you did today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I'd come back. I'd love to come back.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
You bet.